It's Wednesday, September 16th, 2015. You're listening to the Wet Shaving News Podcast, presented by Sharpologist. Did I put it? Well, that makes. Where did? Well, it can't just be gone. Where the? I was looking at it 10 seconds ago. Where did the? No, it was right here. Like 10 seconds ago. I was looking at it. And now, poof! It's. No, I didn't save anything. It just. It forced. No, it crashed. It closed. So Excel crashed, and when I opened it back up, that page in the workbook was just gone.
Yeah, I know, but I didn't save it. I didn't modify it or anything. It's not there now.
So, every morning, when I wake up, I check Twitter and the news feeds that I use to get my information. And I roll over, and I pull out my laptop, and I write everything down into Excel from that day. That's how the news portion of the show gets generated. Well, unfortunately, what you have just listened to was me recording myself, not knowing I was recording myself, as I was recording the first part of this podcast. Excel decided it wanted to close, and when I went to reopen the master workbook that I keep all of my show notes in, the page for this show is no longer there, and I have looked in every possible backup location possible to try and find the data that I had compiled from today's show. You heard me speaking with my fiance about trying to find where that workbook went, and it is nowhere to be found. So the news for this show will be kind of short because I only have one piece of news that I know off the top of my head, and that comes to us from Sharpologist. So let's get started with that, since I have it. And then after that, today's interview is something that I'm a little excited for, and I'm not actually going to tell you who we're interviewing just yet. Of course, if you read the title of this show, it makes no sense for me to withhold the name, because you already know who it is, but in case you didn't read, maybe you should read. That might help. So let's get on to the news. Again, our show is presented by Sharpologist.com, and that's where the only bit of news in the Wet Shaving News Podcast comes from this week. Persona will live to see another day. Many of you know that it was reported several weeks ago now, that Persona was going to be closed or sold off by Edgewell Personal Care. Now, Edgewell Personal Care is the company that Energizer Holdings spawned to take care of their personal care and grooming lines. And Edgewell Personal Care did not see Persona or Gem as fitting in with their brand portfolio and what they wanted to accomplish. So they planned on selling the Industrial Blades business. That has now been purchased by a investment group, Accutech Holdings, and they will continue to produce Persona and Gem blades. So that is a very good thing for those of us who use Personas. That's Persona Blues are my daily driver blade. So if they would have gone anywhere, I would have been very, very disappointed. And since I have no other news, thanks to the magic of Microsoft, we are going to go ahead and move along. Right? I shouldn't blame Microsoft. I don't know what happened. It's probably my fault. I don't know what happened. But anyways, we're going to go ahead and move right along to the interview. Now, this interview is one that I am very excited to bring to you. It is a long work in progress because I have been pretty busy, and so has this other individual, and I didn't want to bother him too much or bug him too much, and I dropped the ball a couple times setting up the interview, but we were able to make it work, and he is with us today, Peter Wolf, the renowned brush maker has, he is the one person, I have gotten more requests to speak with him than anybody else. So I am very pleased to bring you today's interview with Peter Wolf, the renowned Turner, who has made hundreds of custom brushes in beautiful colors of resin polymers, or polymer resins, or however that works. And I have to say, when I started talking to Peter, when you actually get to talk to him on Skype, it was a wonderful conversation. Peter has 2 degrees in classical languages and philosophy. I'm sorry, I'm tired. Classical languages and philosophy. And I have to tell you, I did not want to stop talking to Peter. He's such an interesting guy because he is a classic example of what I believe to be the American dream. He works hard. He produces great, great products, and people love him for it. And so I am so pleased to bring you this interview with Peter Wolf, because I have wanted to speak with him for so long. And once you start talking to him, you know, I actually had to rip myself away from the end of the conversation, because I just wanted to keep talking and keep talking. And we had a conversation, I'll let you know, we had a conversation that was about 10-15 minutes in length before this, and I just wanted to keep talking. So even though this is the longest interview we've done to date, the conversation was a lot longer, and it was a wonderful conversation. And I'm going on and on about this conversation. You want to hear it, I want to hear it. So here is Peter Wolf from Wolf Whiskers. And I'm here with Peter Wolf of Wolf Whiskers. Good morning, Peter.
How you doing there, Andrew?
Fantastic. Thank you so much for spending some time with me this morning. I've had so many people ask me to talk to you. I've had 10 emails now come across my inbox talking about getting with you to discuss your brushes and your company. So I'm so glad to have you on.
I'm glad to be here. And that is an amazing number, actually. And it kind of shocks me in a lot of ways. But I'm glad to be here.
Well, welcome to the show. So first and foremost, you make shaving brushes primarily, correct?
That is correct. I have made some other things here and there, but shaving brushes really where my passion is.
Well, I'd love to get to the shaving brushes, but this podcast is about helping listeners find out who the people behind their favorite brands are. So let's, if you don't mind, let's back up. I understand you're retired Navy, and first and foremost, I want to thank you for your service. But if you don't mind asking, just because there's so many jobs in the Navy, what were your roles during your service?
Okay, well, I joined the Navy as an enlisted man back in 1995, in March of 1995, and I really wanted to get into the technical aspect of the Navy. I had a background, college background, and I should have joined officer, but I decided to go enlisted because I wanted to work through the ranks, and I got into the nuclear engineering field as an electrician's mate. Nuclear qualified. And I knew it was going to be a struggle. It's very challenging school, one of the most challenging schools in the nation, honestly. And I wanted to get into that because I was looking for a challenge. And so I through some struggles, and I almost got kicked out of the program due to some of my struggles with the education program. But I made it through by the skin of my teeth, and I operated as a nuclear qualified electrician for 18 plus years, and even got a chance to educate other people in that field as an instructor up in Saratoga Springs, New York, for 3.5 years. It was a pleasure. It was interesting. And yet it was a challenge. One of the most challenging things I ever did in my whole life.
18 years as a nuclear qualified electrician. That sounds a lot of fun. You don't glow, do you?
No, and it's funny because in the movies you see, even in a James Bond movie, you see that the core glows. And I guess there are some that say that it does glow when there were some different accidents, not in the United States nuclear programs, but in other countries, that there was a slight glow to the coolant. But no way. In fact, we get less exposure to the harms of nuclear power than some people that than a lifeguard that would work on the beach.
Right, because there's natural radiation in our environment, correct?
Oh, absolutely. From the sun, from the ground itself, it's everywhere. And so because we were in shielded environments, we actually got less exposure than some of the people that worked on the flight deck or people that work as a lifeguard on a beach.
Well, awesome. How long now have you been retired from the Navy?
I just retired in this year in March, at the end of March. So pretty much since April 1st, I've been free from the Navy and retired.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Now, before the Navy, where did you hail from? Hometown, high school, alma mater? You said you had a degree that we'll talk about in a second.
Sure. Okay, I grew up about 4 miles north from a little village in Wisconsin. The village's name was Wilton, Wisconsin, W-I-L-T-O-N. There's a Wilson, but this is Wilton, Wisconsin. It's near La Crosse. That's the nearest large city. So I grew up on a farm, a dairy farm. We had about 50 cows roughly. And so I milked a lot of cows, baled a lot of hay and did some of the other fun things on the farm. And, so I learned how to work hard, in that environment. And, so I went to a small, grade school that was, kindergarten through eighth grade. It was all in one building, which is unheard of nowadays for the most part. And, then I went to, after I finished grade school, I went to a private high school in Madison, Wisconsin called Holy Name Seminary. I was studying for the ministry there, at a high school level, which again, these programs don't really exist anymore. And, then I went to, a college in the University of St. Thomas up in St. Paul, Minnesota. And, I got 2 degrees there. I got a philosophy degree in a classical language, which is a Greek and Latin combination. I don't speak those fluently, of course. They're both dead languages. We still use Latin in the medical field and the scientific communities, but not so much, written on a daily basis. There's still some of my friends that are still avid writers and readers of Latin and Greek. But again, in some of the circles that I hang out with, it's kind of what they love and they have a passion for it.
2 degrees, retired veteran, father and a husband, and now we're on to Wolf Whiskers, which is where we're at today. You've had one heck of starting at a farm in Wisconsin. Seminary program in high school, 2 degrees in philosophy and classical languages, nuclear electrician in the Navy, and now shaving brushes. That's like an amazing road to me, because that's like so many different experiences, in one lifetime, I guess, for all the way from the farm to like a nuclear reactor. So it's really cool, but I want to know what inspired this part of the journey. What inspired Wolf Whiskers?
Okay, about 4 or 5 years ago, I began looking at the prices of different shaving supplies, and it was blowing my mind. I had access to less expensive at the Navy Exchange, some of the cartridges that were out there, the off-brand products. But they still blew me away with cost. And so I began wet shaving and I said, I'm going to get one of these double-edged razors. I mean, they just look sweet, a nice, heavy, shiny, beautiful. And at that time it already started to explode. And, and I wanted to try something different. So that's kind of where it started. When I started looking online and seeing pictures of some of the artists out there, I mean, everybody's heard of Rudy Vey. His work just blew me away. Some of the stuff that he was doing. And I have always been an artistic guy. That's the side of the brain that I really enjoy more than the engineering and scientific and math side of the brain. They kind of connect a little bit, but the artistic side has always been a passion for me. And I said, you know, I wonder if I could do something like that. If I could make my own brush, I just wanted to make my own. And I started looking at the cost of supplies and what it would cost to make my own brush. And I said, that doesn't make any sense. I mean, it seems like a small amount to get started, but then it adds up very quickly. Some people call it the turning vortex because it just sucks you in and you keep buying supplies. You need not just a lathe, but, you know, all the other things that go with it. But, you know, and so I just looked at them for months and months and months and said, I think I could make my own brush. I think I'm going to spring for it. I needed something in my life to take up not a void so much, but to kind of a hobby that I needed an outlet for my creativity because I didn't have it at the time. I was qualifying, on my ships with some of the engineering programs and it was just, inundating me with the other side of the brain, my non-creative side. And I had to have an outlet. So I spoke to my lovely wife and I asked her what she thought and she was supportive. And you know, there's always that caution before you make a large expenditure. So the caution was that, you know, this only seems like $400 or $500 to get started. But what am I going to do? Where am I going to do it? You know, so I ended up buying a lathe and working it underneath my maple tree in my backyard and, making a mess back there. And I just wanted to make a couple of shaving brushes to offset the cost of my lathe. Just a few, you know, I wasn't expecting, to make much off of them at all. Maybe $10, $15 off a brush or something if I was lucky. And my first customer's name was Jeff. And Jeff, you know who you are. And,
he's probably one of the emails in the inbox.
Could be. And he bought a Cocobolo. It's a nice rich caramel colored dark wood. And I made a brush for him. It was just a simple design and I really didn't know what I was doing. And I struggled. I made so many mistakes. I blew out the piece when I was making it. It just all kinds of things that were going on and I was struggling with it. And I was doing it in my backyard and I was covering my lathe up at night so it wouldn't get wet, because I had no place to put it. And, long story short, I sold a couple more after that. But then what changed everything for me was when I said, you know, if I can create my own polyester resins, if I can create my own turning material and come up with my own color ideas and be creative, I would create a whole new market, you know, because people want custom. They want, you know, a specific color put together. They want original. And so I did. I started casting my own material, polyester resin. Made a lot of mistakes there along the way. It's a costly adventure, I guess you could say, to come up with you know, new color themes and new ideas and the mistakes you make along the way. It costs a lot to get started in that realm. But that's what opened up the whole new market for me. It was when I started casting my own polyester resins. And about 3 months had passed. I had only sold a couple shaving brushes and nobody really knew who I was. And, I would say that around October, November of 2013, I started getting a few more orders, two or three a week. And then all of a sudden people started taking, notice that, hey, I can get something original, from this guy. He's starting out. I'll give him a shot. And they did. had several people, and I got back from one of my month-long underways, and suddenly I had a bunch of people that wanted shaving brushes. So I had to start limiting, because I was still a full-time employee with the Navy, and I was also going out to sea on workups for a deployment, which was coming up in February 2014. And so I knew when that deployment started that everything was shut down for 9 months, for a full 9 months. So I had no idea that it was going to explode at all. Had no idea. But then right before I deployed, I was getting so many orders, I didn't know what to do. And so the whole deployment, I was thinking, there's a chance that I can make a go of this. It seems like people like my shaving brushes. And I didn't really fully understand why that was. And then I got back from,
because they're absolutely beautiful. I mean, they're fantastic.
And that's what I'm hearing. And, you know, I do put a lot of work into them and a lot of passion into them. And I think that makes a big difference. And but when I got back from deployment, everything just exploded, and I had to create a wait list for a wait list. And it became daunting, but yet enjoyable.
I want to talk about deployment in a quick second. We've talked about the startup. For you, though, what has that experience been like, going from making just a couple brushes per week, doing this as sort of a kind of creative outlet for you know, peace and relaxation for yourself, to coming back from deployment after having realized that people really appreciate the work that and the artistic design that goes into these? What was that realization like for you?
It was mixed emotion, big time. There was excitement because I said, you know, maybe I can make a living with this. But there was also the fear of the unknown, not sure if I could make a living with it. And also I'm still, there's a lot of surprise and awe at the same time, because I started realizing that people are talking about me in forums that I didn't even know existed. And it was blowing my mind, you know, that there was so many people that were talking about my work, even in forums I had never even heard of. And, but I would say that I was fearful that, you know I need to make a living with this. And how do I do that? And, I don't have any business experience at all. I didn't have any classes in college. All I had was the knowledge of the golden rule, essentially. Treat others as you want to be treated. And that's a good rule to have, I think, in the business community. And I know that there's a few other vendors out there that follow that same rule, and they're very successful because of it. And but I would say that lately, it's excitement. Now that I have a wait list, I know it's frustrating for many people. It's frustrating for me too. I understand that. And I apologize to those that, in a way, I don't apologize, but I do, at the same time, because people don't like to wait. I understand that. And it's frustrating, but the wait list is a beautiful thing, because I can see three months out that I have an income. And so that's the excitement that I fear, but there's always that, concern that, you know, if you don't expand or if you raise prices, there's always things that will affect prices and quantity. And those are the frustrations and fears that I have. It's just, you know, I don't want to expand too quickly, because, you know, you lose your market or you could go under. All these things are all rolling in all at the same time, but it's you kind of got to roll with the punches with life, no matter what it is that's thrown at you. So I just said, take one day at a time and see how this goes. And then I finally, after I got out for a couple months, I said, as long as I have people, that want brushes, I'll keep making them. And I kind of stopped looking for a job at one point. And I said, what's the point of looking for a job if I can make a living with this for the time being? And so now, for the future, I just keep thinking, well, let's take one day at a time, 1 week at a time, 1 month at a time, and keep doing it as long as there's a demand for it.
Now, one of the biggest compliments I consistently hear and see and read about when it comes to Peter Wolf brushes, and I watch a lot of the traditional shaving evangelist, Chris Bailey, and he loves your brushes. He posts videos of them all the time. But one of the things that you always hear about, particularly from him, it's the overall experience, because I have not been able to order a brush yet. I tried to in the last wait list period, but I was just under the wire. From what I understand, it is an experience. It is not an order, but you get this brush because the brushes are handmade and they are artistically crafted, and you have full constant communication with yourself when the brush is being produced. You get updates about the status of the brush, and you get to see it before it gets shipped to you. But then you get it, and it doesn't come in a generic box. It doesn't come in a generic, you know, case, so to speak. You have a custom box that you ship these in, and then you also have these really beautiful medallions that you set into the bottom of the handle. So when I think of what you have built, it's not a brand so much as an experience centered around a brand. So what made that jump? What made the drive for this really extravagant experience?
Oh, wow. That's a loaded question. Let me see if I can break it down. Again, back to the deployment, because that's when I had some time to reflect on where my business was going and whether I wanted to make the push for, more of a full-time, thing. And, I designed those boxes, you know, the color, the shape, the size, the cardstock that was used, the gold foil, everything. I designed it. Now I have to give a shout out to, Terry Will. He created the logo for me way back in 2013. So a shout out to him. That's his logo. That's on that, box, and also on the coin, medallion. Now, while I was on deployment, I thought, what could I do to make me stand out so that I can continue to get orders? Because I was afraid of two or three brushes a week. They're just not going to pay the bills. And that's when I came up with the box design, shape, color. That's when I come up with the design for the medallion. And so when I got back off deployment, they were there sitting for me, waiting for me to open the box and take a look. And that's when everything let loose. You know, now as far as the experience, I can't speak from the customer standpoint because, you know, I just can't. I haven't experienced it. I haven't experienced it from the other side. So it's interesting to hear what you say about that experience, it being an experience rather than, you know, just buying a product. I'm sure I don't make it a, you know, perfectly enjoyable experience for everyone. I know sometimes I'm frustrating and sometimes for, customers, you know, understand that I'm frustrated and they understand, and I understand that they're frustrated because it is, you know, coming up with something original, coming up with a something that they really want to enjoy for years and years and make it an heirloom product. They want it to be right. The first time, and I want it to be right the first time because I understand that it could be something they hand down to their child, their son or daughter someday. And so I want to make it right the first time, and I want them to make sure that they enjoy it. So that's where my passion comes in. You know, I want them to see it and see it as something that they really want to enjoy for years to come. So, I guess, When you speak of it being an experience for them, I can sort of understand it because, you know, I want it to be an experience for them. I try my best to communicate as quickly as possible in emails. I don't like, I've heard stories of frustrations people have had with some vendors and not hearing from them for weeks and weeks at a time. And I wouldn't want to be treated that way. So I certainly wouldn't want to treat one of my own potential customers that way either. So as far as, I don't know, I just try to make it a good experience because for me, it's a good experience. And I want to share that with them too, because I don't just turn a brush thinking, okay, dollar signs. I don't do that. I want to make sure it's turned with a passion and knowing that it's going to be something that they can enjoy for years.
Oh, and that kind of brings us to today. The amount of passion you put into your product, the amount of care that goes into your product, it shows because you have a waiting list, and you have a waiting list practically to get onto a waiting list. And for those who don't know, Peter's brushes are so popular that when the list opens up, you have to be fast or lucky or both. But this has happened. You're a husband and a father first, obviously. So since retirement, I have to ask, is Wolf Whiskers your full-time job? Is it a hobby? Is it a jobby? What is it?
It's full-time for me. It's I still enjoy it, which makes it a hobby. But it's also a source of income. So I guess it would be a jobby. And as you coined the term,
that's the best hobby to have, right?
Yeah, sure, it is. And I always want to keep it honest. I don't want to put a price out there that's unfair. I do believe in the free market system, and I do understand how the free market system works for the most part. But I don't want to make something so expensive that I completely price myself out of income. So I want to keep it a fair price for people, which is, I think a lot of people think it's a fair price. Otherwise, there wouldn't be a wait list. And but if you price them too high, then only the elite person can buy a shaving brush. And that doesn't make any sense to me. I want to allow, they are more expensive than some of the brushes that are mass manufactured out there. I do understand, but it's also an art. It's a usable art, as some people have said, and so I want to keep the price point right on a fair market price, and I think that's why the wait list has gotten so big. And this last time in August 15th when I opened it up. It was about 11 hours later, I had to shut it down, and I was actually disappointed because I was hoping it would be up for 2 or 3 days to give more people an opportunity. But I couldn't go to bed that night. I was afraid that I'd wake up in the morning, there'd be another 50 or 60 names, signed up, and then they would be about 4 months out, and by then they forget that they even put in a request. So I only like to go out about 3 months at a time, so that, near the end of that list, if they even remember that they put in a request, so that there's still some excitement there. After three, four months, people start losing interest. They've already gotten a different product, or they start getting frustrated because why is this taking so long? So I can't keep it open. It's actually a frustration for me and for people. I get emails every day asking me, when are you going to open up the list? And I don't always have a deadline for them or a date that I can provide them. I just have to say, I don't know, but here's, you can go to my wait list on my website and it'll be posted when I'm ready.
So that brings me, to the future then, because we know I'm looking forward to the next opening of the wait list. Honey, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, birthday present. So where is, for you, where is Wolf Whiskers going? It's an art, it's a hobby, it's a passion, but where do you see it going in 10, 15 years?
I haven't... really thought out 10, 15 years. Here's the thing. Wolf Whiskers is me right now. And, what I mean by that is, I pour the passion into these, brushes, as people know. And I love doing it. I love communicating with people, and I love making something that they enjoy. If I were to expand and become bigger, as a lot of people have suggested that I do, some of that high touch disappears. You can see that the larger a company goes, often the high touch that is involved in that company starts to diminish. And I don't want to see that ever happen to what I do. And so if I expand, then I'd of course have to bring someone else on, you know, no two brushes are the same. Each one has their own fingerprint. It's not exactly the same shape. They look the same, but if you get a micrometer out, it's certainly not the same. They're all a little bit different, and because they're hand turned. What I have enjoyed is the high touch, the hand turning aspect. Whether I brought on another person in the future to expand, that's not out of the question. But it would have to be someone that I trust that has the same passion for it, and that would like to see not just a quantity increase, but also see the high finish and the high touch aspect continue on. So I haven't really thought 10 years out. I'm kind of thinking 3 to 4 months down the road right now. But what I would like to see is it continue either the way it is, or to expand with maybe one or two other people that have the same passion that I do, preferably family, but I don't know if that's going to happen or not. It's just really hard to say, where it's going to be 10 years from now.
Well, Peter, thank you so much for coming on the show and spending some time with us this morning. If you are looking to see Peter's artwork, if you're looking to see any of his pieces, Peter, where can they find your website?
Okay. It's wolfwhiskers.com. That's all one word, and whiskers is spelt with, W-H-I-S-K-E-R-S. So it's wolfwhiskers.com, or on my Facebook page, you can either look up, Wolf Whiskers Custom Shaving Brushes, or contact me there. I have a contact link on both Facebook and on my website. So,
and it's really worth taking a look through some of the photos that are up both on Facebook and on the website, because the brushes really are very, very well done and very beautiful.
Thank you,
Peter. Thank you so much for spending time with us. I really appreciate you coming on the show this morning, and just awesome work.
Thank you.
Wonderful artistry. Thank you. And I look forward to watching Wolf Whiskers continue, and I look forward to talking to you soon and seeing how Wolf Whiskers does in the future.
I want to see how it goes too. All right. Thank you, Andrew.
Thanks. All right. Bye-bye. I am so pleased to have had the opportunity to talk to Peter Wolf. His products are beautiful. If you go to his website, wolfwhiskers.com, and you look through the gallery, just all the different colors and shapes that he has designed by hand, and the quality, they look gorgeous. They just look gorgeous. Peter also emailed me after our interview, and I didn't want to ask, I asked him once, but I didn't want to press the matter. I just let him know, hey, we do giveaways as well if you want to get into that. But I know he's very busy and he has a wait list, so I didn't press the matter or ask him again. I just kind of sent it in the introductory email. Peter did offer to give us a brush to give away. So as of the recording of this, that is still in production. But as soon as I have photos available for you, it will be up on Sharpologist.com. A custom, one-of-a-kind, limited edition. I say limited edition. I guess they're all limited editions. One-of-a-kind Wolf Whiskers brush from Peter Wolf. And we're going to do something different too, because Peter has such renowned quality and his products are so beautiful in terms of what they are and how he produces them. This will be our first ever international giveaway. Now, we've been asked why we haven't done more international giveaways, and to our friends across the pond in the EU and in the Middle East, and if you're listening in Asia, all over the world, I want to apologize, and even those down under, I want to apologize. I'm sorry we don't do more international giveaways. We don't make any money off this podcast, so sometimes justifying the cost of shipping can be a bit of a challenge, at least for me. And this international giveaway is actually being supported by Sharpologist. Sharpologist is covering the international shipping for this particular episode. But most of the time, we have to be very careful with budgeting, at least I do. And we will be doing more international giveaways. We have finally ironed out that process. So we will be doing more international giveaways coming up, but this is the first one, and I apologize that it's taken us so long to kind of work through that. I had to work with on a partnership with Mark over at Sharpologist.com to make this happen. So Mark, thank you so much for supporting the international giveaway portion of our show. We'll have more coming up. It won't be every giveaway. I want to stress that enough. It won't be every single giveaway simply because of the fact that the cost is relatively high compared to a domestic giveaway, but we will be doing them as frequently as possible because I want to foster this community, and I want to thank everybody so much for listening to us, no matter where you are. Our show is presented by Sharpologist and produced and directed by myself, and I apologize again for not having more news or content for you this week. However, if you find news or content that you want to be on the show, simply email me, wetshavingnews@gmail.com, or you can tweet me at wetshavingnews. I know I'm slow to reply to Twitter sometimes, and I apologize. I apologize for my Twitter slowness, but I will get that news on the show. I look forward to having everything that's missing brought to you in the next episode in 2 weeks, so I should have 2 weeks worth of news or 4 weeks worth of news in 2 weeks. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you guys have a shave-worthy week, and we will talk to you again real soon. Bye-bye.